Hello, welcome. Thank you so much for dropping into Time in the Studio today, where we share behind-the-scenes stories of creatives and plant people and recount tales of change and connection and plant seeds of possibility. I'm your host, Sarah Marie Miller, and my world has been transformed by art and plants, and I'm excited to offer you ideas to transmute your world as well. So excited to share with you the conversation I had with Kira Burney. Has an amazing story of self-awareness, creativity, and service, and I think it'll help you see how important your time on this planet is. I've seen many aspects of my work evolve because of our chat a couple weeks ago, and Kira is just a game changer. She discusses how to make your business a reflection of your authentic self, how to create your website as a tool for reflection and manifestation. And she shares aspects of her cultural background and how it's impacted her life. And we dive into some shadow work surrounding race, gender, and privilege. And she has some wonderful suggestions for how to support new parents, new doulas, and creative spirits. And she gives ideas for collaborating and what it was like illustrating a children's book. So cool and beautiful. I love her stories about this. Her understanding of the transition from maiden to mother will fill you with so much inspiration. Before we dive in, though, a big shout out to some timelights this week. Ashley Nowak of Mana Apothec. She's on Instagram at Mana Apothec, and I will have that in the show notes how to spell that. She's an herbalist, a plant healer, an earth oracle, and a tarot reader. And in a little glimpse on her website, she states, "When we return to the earth and welcome mystery, we remember our essential beauty and our wild spirit, and are awakened to our innate healing potential." You can listen back to episode 19 to hear more about her experiences with plants, the tarot, and full spectrum doula work. I love sessions with her. She is an amazing tarot reader and definitely worth looking at her beautiful website, treating yourself to a session with her if you're able to, and check out her medicines, offerings, and upcoming classes. Up next is Molly Spittler at Wild Moonflower, who is a lover. This is from her Instagram, which I love. Lover of all things wild, intentional floral design for the weird and magical. Hello. Shadow worker, herbalist, healer, rooted in Marshall, North Carolina. She says, from a super young age, she was connected to nature and found as an adult she wanted to create a place to harness and celebrate that magic. She also fell in love with floral design. The focus of Wild Moonflower is a marriage of these two passions, to use the power of plants and flowers to help others heal and bring light to our souls through flower healing sessions, which can include floral design, herbal mixtures, and guided meditations, and much more. She is a wonderful human. So, yeah, definitely please be sure to check out Wild Moonflower on Instagram as well. And a third shout out goes to Leslie Panair of Anwesha Co. That's Anweshaco on Instagram. She is a phenomenal nutritionist, herbalist, and flower essence practitioner. And I just love how she holds space. Sessions with her are super healing, and I adore her beautiful and informative posts on Instagram. In a recent note about reishi mushrooms, she shared the reminder, "This amazing mushroom strengthens the immune system and has a particular affinity for the lungs. It is also wonderful for stress, helping to improve sleep and lessen fatigue." Okay, it's official. I maybe need some time with Reishi and maybe a session with Leslie. She is amazing. Also, a big shout out to all the bees knees on Patreon. You'll see I just added a new gift, the Rule of Thirds worksheet. It's designed for simplified goal setting, and it really helped me get clarity about what I want to focus on in the upcoming weeks, months, and years ahead. And it's also fun, I don't know, just to daydream and consider what we want to change in our world during this time. You can get some goodies and help amplify the voices of creatives and plant people by going to patreon.com/timeinthestudio. And you can click on the link and support for as little as $1 a month. If you enjoy the show and want a little something special delivered to your inbox every 2 weeks, you can sign up for my newsletter. It's a haiku and some other treat not available anywhere else. You can do that at my website, www.aidazea.com. That's AIDAZEA.com. Okay, let's dive into the show. Cha-cha-cha.
Oh my gosh, I am absolutely delighted to have on the show today a dear friend, Kira Burney. She is an artist, and that is how I first came to know her, a friend of many of my friends from years ago, and she's also a teacher, a doula, a mother now, an author, and just a phenomenal human being who brings love and light to everything she does. I remember many of her art projects would have hearts on them, and I was like, oh my gosh, just to reveal love and openly share love with people. It was just kind of mind-blowing to me, actually. And yeah, I love your work and your meditation and your interest in yoga and being so true to yourself and to the world and your work. So thank you so much for being here today, Kira Burney.
Thank you. Wow, tears. You're back so brightly. Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure. I'd love for you to just give us a couple highlights about your journey along the way. Looking at your website, you have a list of so many things that you've accomplished over the years, but I'd love to hear in your own words a little bit about your cultural background and just your experiences along your path, highlights, lowlights, things that just call out to you to name initially, and then we can dive into things more specifically too.
Very cool. I was born in Washington, D.C., 1975, and to Mary and James. But I think the biggest thing I want to say about that I'm proud of a biracial union. And I think one of the biggest threads throughout my experience is navigating race and identity and self-reflection. I think something about, I think probably everybody has this experience, but just with like how race is structured here in the United States, especially, I guess, the only experience I have, it makes you like have to really reflect on yourself a lot, especially if you are, for me at least, I think, and then who feels like an other or in between races. So yeah, so self-reflection, I feel like was like inherently my purpose in life and something that I think that has come to me, not always with pleasure, but maybe earlier than others, especially then my parents did not stay together very long and then married a white man. And I have three white siblings. So also feeling other within my house and no one knowing, you know, my parents love me. They took great care of me. I am blessed. Yes. But there was always sort of that feeling like an otherness inside my home and not necessarily with my parents, but yeah, you're put in spaces where you hear racist things and you realize, hey, yo,
yeah,
as a person, there's a black, she might be really light skinned, but there's a black person in your space, a brown person in your space. And that starts making me, be confused. Yeah. Like, I have a great privilege for being light skinned, but like, wow, people are really say some fucked up things. So I feel like that's the line that I'm always within just life in itself that keeps coming up in different ways. And the older I get, I'm blessed for that experience. I truly am. But, you know, probably for the young child, as we all like navigate who we are, it's a lot of my shadow work now. I have to sort of be okay with things that have happened to me and thoughts I've even had about myself, wanting to be one or the other or different things and change yourself, which like feels even crazy to say now because I do love myself so much. And I feel, I just really don't want to be anybody else. But I'm working with anger of like how, what that feels like to be a child. And it affects, I think, white and black and all the people in between, how race is constructing the United States. It's hard. And then it's hard, even if you figure it out for yourself, then you have these two light skinned babies that you love so much and that you just thought like intuitively you wouldn't have to explain the world to them. And then you realize you have to tell your story again and revisit your story and then realize, and you really, you have to really tell the truth versus, they don't have a model of my birth father in our lives. I have to explain to them that their dad is not who they think grandpa, or my dad is not who they think grandpa is. And that, yeah, our Black heritage is there. It might not be obvious to everybody when they see us initially, but finding ways to make that, like, yeah, I have to teach them that. It's a big job, and it can feel overwhelming, and then, but at the same time, it's a must. So I don't know if that answers your question.
Oh, but that's
sort of the beginning stage of, like, if I see my, like, arc. And of course, I'm a creative person. As long as I can remember, I've been drawing and interpreting my world, you know, art making, and that's my ultimate joy. And I think that's how, like, I started what I, more recently, 2.5 years, I felt at a, I think I was burnt out, like mom burnout. I had 2 babies, like moving, from maiden to mother. Like, there's something to talk about, like postpartum. Mm. First of all, as my mentors say, postpartum is forever. your mom's postpartum. You might even be postpartum if you have had a loss or if you had a termination. Yeah, really wrap your head around the broad spectrum of being postpartum. It doesn't always end with the baby. But I don't know where I was going with that. But yeah, then also I think the big thing is, I think I had my first child at 37, but like, re-becoming, you know, like you're not the same person. And having to learn that, but it took my second child to realize, oh, you don't have to fit into those skinny jeans again. You don't have to, like, you don't have to be that same person. You are a different person. Mm. It took me probably 4 or 5+ years to even understand that from the first time. But this time too, yeah, really stepping in my authenticity and like saying, obviously the maiden I'm more familiar with because it was like a longer period of time at this moment in time. Mm-hmm. But embracing the beauty and becoming something else, like a mother. And so art meditation was sort of like a playful way to like, wait, I used to like to make, you know, I make art from doing pet portraits. I've made money off of it. And doing other arts and crafts, I love craft fairs, you know, Portland for life about introducing me to craft fairs and DIY. And like, that was Handmade Bazaar. Thing in the world. Yes. But I wasn't making art for fun anymore, you know? Mm. And then one night I just was like, let me just doodle, like literally like just put ink to paper and just doodle. And that felt really good. And it was like, I think it was a mess. I think it was like guns, you know, the end of the world. Like, you know, just, it was just a flow of emotion. So another way to also journal, I think, but it felt good. And then I would sporadically do it, just say, I don't know when this was exactly. I'm going to say October, fall of 2017. Started doing that. And then, and over the 2.5 years, now it's a language for me, sort of, and it's continued to evolve. But then throughout that fall, just realizing, wow, this is such a cool process for myself. Then I would do the moons or find more ritualistic times for myself to like reflect back. And then I made a promise. I want to try to do this for a year. Good to me. And use it as a tool for manifestation, like goal setting, processing, acknowledging the cycles, seasons, menstrual, birth, death, you know, like, and, you know, sometimes there's nothing. And I do incorporate tarot sometimes. I'm very new to tarot, but pulling a card and seeing how that resonates and then mirroring back some message from that. So that sort of has been like, that was an exciting thing that came out. But then dually, I'm going to doula work. And please interrupt me if I'm
like, your flow is amazing. Okay. Yes, thank you so much for everything, just sharing everything so beautifully and clearly. And I just feel like there's so much reflection and thoughtfulness in understanding your own journey and naming it. So just thank you for everything that you've already given voice to.
Awesome. So and then after having my first child, I think that was, you know, amazing experience. I personally had the best doula in the world, Lindsay Bliss. But that birth was really like just, and it was a hospital birth.
That was your first baby?
That was my first baby. So it was really intuitive. That was what I was going to say about that birth. And in general, I think I knew nothing about postpartum, but, had a wonderful birth, like, and only positive reflections, and like, I was in my power, like, it was, you know, for me, it was not amazing. It still like hurt. There was a bunch of journeying, like,
right.
It was empowering and intuitive. Like, I was given a really safe space to do it my way and gentle guidance if I hit walls. So for me, that was amazing. But even the first few things, shit, I didn't realize having a baby would hurt your vagina so much. So little things that you're like, why didn't, you know that in the, oh, I can't walk after this. And it makes sense, I guess, intellectually now, but at the time, no one was just even not my midwife. I was at the books I chose to read, and obviously no one was, not even my parents or the few friends who had babies, and not a big deal. I'm not mad at them, but those were the first few things. And then that was like just the healing part was a kind of a shocker that just no one really facilitated, sort of like, oh, this might be, these are the three things or four or five things that could happen. Just be mindful. I honestly didn't know about like the afterbirth bleeding. I know that I feel so embarrassed to say that right now, but again, I didn't get pads, but for me, it lasted 6 weeks.
Oh,
and
wow.
Now that I know that I was probably doing too much, that's why blood continue, it wasn't, I realized that early on in the postpartum, like one day having a friend over and bleeding through a pillow being like, oh wow, it's fun, but it's also draining. And my body's, I was like, if you bleed through a pillow, someone has to, you're like, it's time to go.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
I'm sorry, that was fun, but, I might be slow. But like through doula work, realizing, oh wow, this is your body telling me like you were doing
slow down.
That would be my number one advice, like slow down, like it's okay to slow down. There's no bouncing back. No one's rushing you, like really take that time. And one thing I want to say about the pandemic, and I think in the doula world, like this space and time that we're in is a lot like postpartum. And I personally wouldn't necessarily want to be, I think it'd be really hard to be in your postpartum now.
Yeah.
It's nice and quiet, but you really can't have people serve you right now. I think that would be, and it's, I feel like we're about to get out of that if you're safe, and you have to figure out your boundaries around service right now. But like, I don't, 3 weeks ago was different. That's all I'm going to say. But I don't know where the point of my story was, but this time, like even cooking for yourself and caring for yourself and something about the being in home is very postpartum-y. That's all like, and isolating. Cause I think also postpartum, even if you have the best friends, can be isolating. If you're a social person, like I think I probably was too social, but it's still, it's shocking to all of a sudden have someone need you so much.
I can't imagine.
You can't really conceive of it when you're, no matter what you think you were aware of. So
did you have a postpartum doula? Did you have a postpartum?
No, I just had a birth doula. I didn't even know. Nice. That's my story. I didn't even know what a postpartum doula was. I had reflections about like, it's weird. And again, I honestly, like, I think I had a pretty, besides, like, I could critique it now, but I had a pretty nice, like bizarrely, the thing that happened in my postpartum, my brother was getting married and my whole family was in Italy. So there was nobody, like, there was nobody here. And I think Stephanie never is in town when I birth my baby. She's always someplace fabulous, tropical. Not that it's her job to take care of me, but like as a close friend.
Yeah.
Bobby did come by. Isabel did come by. Many people came by. But like for that, family couldn't. Yeah. All my family.
Parents, oh my gosh.
Cousins, aunts and uncle. We're in Italy. So it was kind of, in retrospect, I love that because there was sort of this like forced quietness, even calling the time difference, they couldn't. So they came like 3 weeks later, which was in some ways like a perfect timing. But, and I also think of something about that birth. I literally went into labor. My parents called me from the airport. And like that night I go into labor, I don't think I could have even gone to labor until my parents left, but that was a weird thing. But so I think this time is a lot like postpartum. I think if you can remember those feelings or think of maybe how you would change this time or set it up differently, if you're a birthing person and someone that might go into postpartum, I think that's something just to like another reflection about this time.
Yes, I love that.
So doula work. So my doula, Lindsay, is part of Carriage House Birth, and I follow them on Instagram. And I'm not 100% sure when they had a post for like a postpartum doula training. And I was like, that's what I want to be. Because I was always I thought postpartum was like a missing thing, but I didn't have that conversation with anybody. Yeah. But when I saw it in words, I was like, I personally at this stage, I want to witness a birth that's not mine, but I'm not drawn to birth work on that end at this point in time. But I don't know if I could give their offering that was right then, but shortly one worked out. I got certified through, or took my training through DONA, and I took it in the fall someplace in the city. And so that was the beginning. Definitely for me, the beginning felt really long from having to get the business going. I was able to check the boxes on the certification slowly and surely, but yeah, they don't teach you about business or how to put yourself out there. Or there's a lot of things that you learn by yourself. And then at the same time, for me, at least, I didn't have any community. I mean, I knew a few doula, you know, Carriage House was always really welcoming, but they were maybe more birth centered. Yeah. It took a while to understand, find your mentors or a little bit more like a community around it. But at this point, obviously, what's timing? You know, it's divine timing. Almost for the past 2 years, I have been, for whatever, have felt more successful and more empowered and more in, I embody the doula that I wanted to be and I'm striving. But it did take a second. I mean, I think I took my training in 2014. So not until whatever that, I don't know, whatever. And 2 years ago, it felt really slow, even to the point where I doubted, am I not meant to be a doula? But I'd have like little gigs here being like, no, I am. But it wasn't until my mentors or somebody, they had an offering, Birdsong Mentorship, Erica and Laura. And I've taken their series twice, but it's like maybe a 12-week journey.
Oh, wow.
And
wonderful.
They really work you through working about self-worth and identifying your strength and sort of also like your non-linear narrative, all the things that we've done build up to being good at. And they use the word doula as a wide, there's a lot of types of different doulas.
Right. Everyone's different.
Yeah, it's not pigeonholed into only birth doulas. You know, I've known death doulas, divorce doulas. It's someone who holds space. And if you identify with that word, you know. But so yeah, they did this 12-week course and kind of just a deep dive from spiritual to practical, from contracts and so forth. And
cool.
Yeah.
Is that online?
It is online, yes.
Oh, cool.
I mean, I highly recommend it. Birdsong for Life. And with the duality of doing my drawings and that work, yeah, from that fall, you know, I had a few gigs here and a few things that were like, definitely I had a terrible client, that one, or I hope that's cool to say, but a challenging client. But again, it was from their mentorship. I didn't take some of the critique from that experience. It was more about communication. So I always tell my clients now, please, you know, if I'm annoying you, if I'm not serving you where you want, like, you know, communication is key with me. And please, you know, don't wait to the end of the shift, you know, even if it's eating you up. But with this one client, I think I was focusing on the baby too much. I thought she wanted, you know, it's a newbie doula thing. I thought she was really just wanting a break. I did feel a high-end babysitter, but I still thought she had, and she also had an assistant who was doing doulas, like she wasn't a doula. So it was communication.
Yeah.
At the end of it, she like let loose very respectfully, and I listened really respectfully, and I was like, I'm so sorry. And I almost think something about that experience also, when I left, I was like, I think I did just doula her by she released something that was, I think I could have done better 100%, but I also think that she needed to vent.
Yeah.
And I was the person finally alone with her that she felt safe to do that. And bizarrely, we left on good terms, but you know, that was, if that happened to me 6 months earlier, probably I would be like, got it, you know?
Yeah, I can see how that could like be really helpful. I feel for a lot of women stepping into motherhood, it I feel like you find your voice.
It's, yes.
You know, and so you find your way. And so maybe she was kind of testing that with you. Wait, can I have this boundary? Can I name it? Can I state my needs? Can I state my desires? And what does that look like? What does that feel like? And so, yeah, I love that you were able to have that kind of dialogue and exchange with her. That seems really powerful for both of you to realize.
I think so. Okay. I mean, I tell every client now, like, just please communicate with me the best that you can. Yeah. And I will do the same. But like, so yeah. But then, yeah, with a year of taking that mentorship, it kind of gave me the tools that I felt like I didn't get through my certification. Mm-hmm. And then a community too. So then you also have all these cheerleaders and some people you connect with more than others, but then you have people who are accountable and they kind of, yeah, see your light in a way that you sometimes can't. And yeah, really. And then I did take that off. So yeah, I got my website, and that's my website to me is like an embodiment of their guidance. It's like literally mm-hmm. just be you.
Yes. You know? And your website is so gorgeous, by the way. I'd love to just read a little bit from your website, just really quickly, if that's okay.
Please do.
I just found it just, yeah, so gorgeous. So you state, my role as an artist, mother, and doula is fluid. Each influences each other and provides me a creative outlet to be of service. Creativity is my guide for processing my experiences, environments, and identity. Drawing, painting, and crafting are my primary methods of expression. Recently, I have identified the meditative qualities to my art practice. Artist meditation allows me to support my family and doula clients from a present, intuitive, and heart-centered space. Creativity is life. The meaning of mother has been an evolution from daughter, sister, babysitter, counselor, teacher, to having my own children. Parenthood has been my ultimate teacher and creative guide. Motherhood is art. I love that. My personal experience of navigating early parenthood guided me towards supporting people and families in their postpartum period. Personally, I was shocked of my lack of knowledge surrounding postpartum after the birth of my first child. I had so many questions at a fragile and amazing moment in my life. I believe new parents and birthing folks deserve to be celebrated and honored by providing them a safe space to rest, heal, and bond. As a doula, my goal is to provide answers to questions and resources on a wide range of topics, non-judgmentally supporting an empowered entry into parenthood. And I just love that you name the importance of being in your heart, being heart-centered, being creative, being an artist. I just feel like it's such a beautiful call to the people who are meant to work with you. It's
yeah, you don't want any clients that you're not. I think clients are brought to you through your energy and through your presence. Yeah. And not like you're weeding out people who are not, just don't vibe with you. That is right. Cool. You know?
Yeah.
And I mean, the great thing I've learned this past maybe 6 months is like, and I also don't like, if I don't vibe, and not that I'm not there yet where I'm turning down clients, but you know, I interview quite a bit, but there's ones that I like, I can tell I think I don't want to work with, you know, there's people that can surprise you, but I'm at the space where like that again, doesn't affect like acknowledging like some people are not, I'm not meant for as well.
Yeah.
It's really liberating. And it makes me like, if I don't get a client, that's okay. You know, it just mm-hmm. wasn't meant to be. And that feels just a really good space to be in, because when you're early doula, you want it all or anything. And that's also a weird place to get work from, like desperation. I mean, or, you know, you need the experience. Don't, you know, like no judgment, but like, and it's all a process, but it's so nice to be in a space where you, yeah, can trust the divine.
Yeah. and it's just so in your power. I just feel that whole, all of your writing and your work, it just feels like you're coming more and more into your power and yeah, not scared of amplifying the truth of who you are. And I feel like it's just magnetizing the right people to you.
I mean, I hope that's, yeah, I think all you can do is shed and be yourself, and that's mm-hmm. easier said than done. But I'm realizing through my personal work, or, you know, and this is not, I need help. mm-hmm. But yeah, there's only one way to be, is in your truth. So, and so yeah, digging deep into some of the shadow stuff, it's okay as well. And
how do you do that? How do you dig into the shadow work?
You know, I still struggle with it, but I just, mm-hmm. You can just, I don't know. I'm embarrassed to say this, but I really like this woman called Lacey Phillips.
Yeah, no, know? I listen to her podcast. It's great. No, I think it's super helpful.
I really think that like her workshops, her offerings really get you on your subconscious level where you don't have, where you don't feel worth. And I actually struggle with her shadow work part because I can't get past a certain point because I have to. It's easier for me to be on a podcast and ask three friends the three things that, like, I don't know what her question is, but I think it's sort of like ask three friends these three questions, and they could come back, like, you know, where could you be working more on a part of yourself, you know? And I'm afraid to ask somebody, and some, I don't know who to ask that to.
Yeah.
Who I trust to hear their response, and that, like, I'm embarrassed to say that's, and I know I have people in my life that I can, but I'm afraid of that.
So I am too. As you say that, I'm like, I don't want to do that, but I do. It's very compelling. Oh, I do want to know what to work on. And that's terrifying, you know?
So. But her stuff was really, and I already knew this about, then she has, I don't know what it's called now, reparent, where you kind of like track X amount of periods in your life and what happened in those periods. And I like, honestly, I had a very good childhood, but again, it comes back for me is like the race and identity stuff. And it's maybe not even my parents, it's society. And I don't have any answers about it, but it's just naming it more. Not that I think sometimes for me with racism, I think it's in my head and I'm like, the more I learn about it through reading, through experience, and like listening to other people's experience, you're like, oh, right, this is really, it's so ingrained in our history.
It's really, in our culture.
It's so ingrained in our culture. And I really, I ask all people, I mean, I guess especially white people, to really, yes, really take the mirror to them, check their privilege, or yeah, it's tough out there.
It is. And I just want to honor that and just acknowledge that. Like, I was listening to a podcast recently, Code Switch, and they were talking about race and friendship, and most people of color have lots of white friends, and most white people have like maybe one or two friends of color. You know, it's different maybe living in New York or something where there is just more diversity, but in general, most white people only have white friends or mostly white friends. And so I'm kind of like checking myself too with this podcast and realizing like, whoa, looking at like all the people I've had on the podcast, it's like mostly white people. And I'm like, oh, I have some of my own shadow work to do, that just unconscious biases or I don't, yeah, it's just work to do.
It's blinders. It's not like,
yeah.
Yeah, we just, yeah. But it's, yeah.
It's
kind of speechless. I mean, I am, number one thing I am blessed, I will say, is I grew up in Washington, D.C. And at the time, it was Chocolate City. Yes, I'm in a very white neighborhood. But I lived in DC proper. I went to DC public schools, like that were majority black students. Like for me, from like what my house modeled to what my schools modeled, I've had black principals, I've had black teachers, like, yeah. And DC has plenty of, you know, amazing black leader, you know, a wide variety of black folks. And I do, thank goodness for me at least, I think that my family did not live in the suburbs, that even if I wasn't raised by my birth father, blackness and black history and black culture was very accessible. And living in New York in Crown Heights, it's here, like that's, you know, I lived in Greenpoint for a really long time and I loved it. And that's sort of what you even talked me about. Like I felt really comfortable with, you know, majority of white friends, but I'm so happy I moved to Crown Heights. Does feel more familiar with its black community here of DC. I mean, totally different, but again, it's pure luck that we moved to Crown Heights because the housing lot, you know, that's a whole nother story, but like we won the housing lottery. But like, I think for my children and for me, again, that's the spirit that got us here. That's how I feel. It was like, we would have a fine life in Greenpoint, but again, so thankful that I moved here so that I could, again, another deep dive into race and identity. And because I probably wasn't in a comfortable space. that need to be shook up a little
bit. Yeah. Yeah. That's beautiful and amazing to recognize that and experience that. Have you noticed anything come up around culture and racism in your doula work? Is that something that has been
for me personally, it hasn't. Like that's where I see the differences is like what you're saying, like some certifying agencies, mm-hmm. like, yeah, what perspective are they teaching from? Mm-hmm. And yeah. I don't know if Dona talked about race and culture at all in serving people. Maybe they talked about culture, about like being mindful of what people eat and so forth. Mm-hmm. But I'm pretty sure it was it lacked discussing race. I definitely, in 2014, don't think they were talking about Black maternal health, even in the in the training, which I think, yeah, everyone needs to familiarize themselves and figure out a way. And I think this pandemic is a spotlight on the health injustices we have in the United States even more. But like, poor and Black folks have been experiencing this forever. So like I hope one of the silver linings in this crazy time is that we can find a way to have a better healthcare service for everybody. And like, it'd be equitable.
Yes. Hallelujah. Oh my gosh.
I don't know where I was going with that, but when I am in Black spaces or when there's a more diverse doula gathering, mm-hmm. I was once at one, just at a coffee shop, like local Brooklyn ones, and one head doula was like, what would she say? Oh, this is what I thought was about certification. She's like, I don't know what the discussion was, but someone asked like, oh, does anyone ever ask you for your certification? And this doula was like, oh, never. And this senior Black doula is like, no, you should be mindful. Black women are often asked for like, what are your credentials? So even being like light skinned or white, maybe someone's not going to ask for those, you know, credentials. But I do think that, you know, women of color might be asked or for more credentials, whatever that, whatever that means. And again, I think that's probably, I'm probably also taking that a white center, like assuming that the client's white. But I have felt not necessarily racially, but sometimes you feel like the hired help and that does sort of get that nothing outwardly like,
right.
I can't put my finger on it. It's more of a feeling. And that also does kind of like trigger back to some ancestral, like, you're like, wait, I felt this feeling. Like maybe it feels subtle. So I definitely think, I mean, if you're going to, I believe everyone deserves a doula. I don't know necessarily like, who should be paying for it. That's, you know, that's a whole nother topic of, do we want to be, I don't know what's the right word, certain, not, there are doula bills coming out. I'm spacing on the word, but like
licensure.
Mm-hmm. And that's to also get reimbursement, which I'm like, all those things in theory are, but who's going to decide what's the licensing body? Because all certified by different bodies, you know, and you know, that goes back to something that I'm so new to, but how, you know, 100 years ago, I mean, my grandmother was born at home, 95, you know, there's no doubt since she was, you know, in Massachusetts, New Bedford, I don't know, she's some whaling town. I think she probably was born at home, and that's and so there's a strong, you know, immigrant midwives, Black midwives that were working 100 years ago, and they were pushed out for those, when, to, you know, doctors was like, hey, you've been called for this and this is like intuitive work, but that's been diminished pretty quickly. And even my own ignorance, you know, I've had a home birth, but I didn't go deep to understand like, yeah, I didn't look back to think like, oh, was my grandmother born at home? Like, how long ago were people really, when did that switch come, the hospital? You know, I probably was sort of being like the 70s hippie vibe of like home birth. I wasn't thinking the tradition further back than that. I was like, yeah, I was thinking about the farm and those folks. I had my own birth. That's another thing I wish that people would like educate themselves about, just like the history of birth and who was helping birth people, and like, do you need to be licensed, and how that was like, how it become more medicalized. And I think obviously there's times you need doctors, but women have been holding, or women, people have been holding space for this for many more years than there were doctors. And I think that's something to really, like, I'm really enjoying that journey of, like, the Black midwife, especially, just like, wow. And there's a lot of
powerful.
There's a lot of dualities with doula work in that, and sort of just knowing that, acknowledging it, first of all, and then also learning some wisdoms, and, like, also then trusting, you know, most of these people were, you know, it was a calling for them. It wasn't. Yes. And so, like, the intuitive nature of it.
I just, that kind of leads me into the book that you worked on. I feel like it's kind of about birth, and it looks beautiful. I love your illustrations. And yes, Home Sweet Baby. Can you tell us about creating this book, what it was like, and collaborating with someone on it?
For me, an amazing experience through, you know, making your dreams come true, or wishing them. And again, I'm really bad with time, but around Theo's, my second child's birthday, I went to a mom group. And I wished, and I said it out loud, like, I want to make birth related, or children, mother, baby, or family. Like, I don't know if I had a term, but making more art.
Yeah, I could always imagine you doing a children's book. Like, I just love the way that you draw and you paint and you illustrate. And so, yeah, you were at a gathering with doulas.
I was at a gathering with just at a Waldorf school picnic. Made it.
Oh, cool.
A friend of mine, she wants to make this book. My friend Jana, who's the author of this book. And she's just asking me, like, oh, do you have any pictures from your home birth? And, I'm sorry. It starts, like, I don't know if it's in that same, that's what I can't remember. I think a year before, I wished to make art related to, like, families, kids, babies, somehow, incorporate that. I made that wish. Yes. I think I finished a painting for a friend that was that related. But I was like, where I struggle is, like, staying motivated when that space. But almost a year to his date, year later, Jonna asked me about my birth, and if I had any pictures. My pictures are kind of shitty. In my head at that conversation, I was like, oh, I wish I could paint my picture. It was me maybe breastfeeding my newborn and Davis witnessing it. Like, I like that picture, but the lighting, you know, it's not you wouldn't frame that picture, but if you could alter it, it's really
yes.
I tell her about that picture, and I don't know, like, maybe I tell her to go to my website, and within a week, she's like, would you be interested in making art for my book? I was like, yes,
Oh my God. Crazy
you said that, because when you asked me, I had a vision of that. But of course, you know, I'm still learning, or I don't know, maybe you don't need to say those things out loud, but it was like one of those times where, like, oh, when you think and think something or vision something, and then it comes true. And so it took us about, you know, it was a big learning experience.
Yes.
Yes. So I think she compiled the pictures, and I used to paint them.
So did she already have the story kind of?
I don't know if her story, that's where we have to ask her more. Mm-hmm. I think she had a basic outline. It's not necessarily a story. It's sort of like vignettes of possible experience in home birth. I mean, so from like breathing, if you see mommy do this, or like, this is me coming home, meeting my sibling for the first time, like, so here's the midwife visiting. Like, it's kind of linear to like belly pictures or images to, oh, here is your new sibling. So it's also for sibling support. Her reason for wanting to do it is like that she felt, and I agree, there are not many books about, like, to give your kid if they're having a new sibling for home birth. And if they are, again, there seem like super hit, like, I think the one that my midwife recommended was a Canadian book, and beautiful book. I think the story is great, but yeah, it's like, go walk in the woods as mommy has contractions. Put the wood in the wood. It didn't represent
the reality.
Tiny Greenpoint apartment having a home birth, you know. There was no fire to cuddle up to next afterwards. I mean, I love my experience, but
yes.
So that was her reasoning for it. And yeah, and to make the art was like a no-brainer. I think it took it started in June. It's almost like a year anniversary finishing.
Oh, amazing. That seems fast.
Yeah, I mean, my joke was I thought I could finish it like in 6 months. So like definitely right. Life got in the way here and there, but yeah. And some came out easier than others, just how, you know, that's like life. And, but yeah, it was a lot of, for me, it's the most work I've ever done, like art wise or in that short of amount of time.
Were they all paintings on canvas? Or?
Yeah. They're paintings on canvas, like 12 by 12, each one of them.
And oh, cool.
Acrylic, that's my medium. Mm-hmm. I think in retrospect, I wish we had played around with the images more before, like everything was edited in real time. Mm-hmm. But I would have not, like Jonna and I think really worked really well together. I miss that collaborative work. Like that's something I do think I love. And that's even with doula work. I really like working as in a team situation. Yes. It's a night doula, day doula, just someone to sort of like, you're not the only one receiving the information and someone also keeping you accountable. I work best that way because I am struggling right now in that other way of, you know, yeah, building my business and trying to figure out what's next. I kind of want, I don't know what bigger means, but I want something more. I want it to be more sustainable. And I had a glimmer last year. I was very successful with the art and the doula work. And so I've had a taste of it. And it's not about money, but I see some growth that I hadn't felt. So how to organize that. Yeah, I need a little bit of guidance on, for lack of better, the business and the organization side. That's where I'm struggling with right now. Just sort of like, okay, I believe I have something.
Yes, absolutely.
I think that people enjoy some of, you know, what I have to offer. Yeah, not looking, I don't think I'm looking for fame, but yeah, how to share that on a broader platform.
I could see some sort of mentorship because I feel there are so many doulas starting out who don't know what they're doing. I've done some doula trainings, but I haven't really stepped into that role. And so I could see, you know, doing.
Well, you are my first mentor.
Kira, what do I do with my
life? Let's work it out together. You let me know when you want to have your first mentoring session.
Perfect. I am curious, like, if there are some tips that you have for beginning doulas or for people who are supporting women who are in the postpartum, which I love that you name, like, postpartum is your entire life from the time that you have a birth experience, whether it comes full term or whatever that may be. Like, I think, yeah, just to honor holding space for women or people, birthing people, you know, I like that you name that on your website too.
That's also something like I think is really important besides knowing the history of birth work in the United States, again, outside of whiteness. And then I think to be really conscious of all types of people giving birth, that's really, and again, that's new to me. And I think it will continue to like evolve my language around it. But, and I probably was even resist. If you asked me 5 years ago, I'd be like, I don't understand that, you know?
Right.
So,
yeah.
But to me, it's exciting to hear other ways of speaking about, I mean, gender, you know, right. Like I find that I actually do. I mean, I don't mean like in a voyeuristic way, but like my ears are open and I'm really enjoying the dialogue and how people are sharing about their gender experiences or non-binary. Yeah, I think it's important for us birth workers to be mindful.
Yeah, and it's refreshing just to like give space for everyone to be authentic in who they are. You know, there's just something like, okay, what, however you feel you want to be named in this world, on this planet, like I want to honor all people however they want to be.
Totally.
Yeah. However they want to be. Like, I just want to honor them. So yeah, it's refreshing. So I was curious, ways to support women who have recently had babies. Cause I have two dear friends who just recently had kids, babies, and I want to know how to help them or how other people, how to create kind of a network of support so that I'm not the only one helping them, but so that they are helped.
Yeah. I mean, I think first of all, ask them, but I think also don't ever go to a postpartum person's house empty handed.
Yeah.
Or if you don't have a meal to give them, ask them, like, do the dishes, make the bed, you know? Everybody has different things they need, or, you know, rub their feet, offer to hold the baby for them to take a nap. I think really make it about the parent or parents. At the same time, don't take a baby out of a new parent's arms, you know? Like, don't make it all about the baby. I think that's sort of, let's pamper the mother more.
Yeah.
So that would be my first few advice. Like, don't show up empty-handed. Wash your hands, take off your shoes, be clean. You don't need to give any opinions. Just, like, listen. I mean, honestly, just hold space and have them share their birth story if they feel like it. Listen to them complain or cry or celebrate with them how amazing it is. But, like, it's really their time. I think that's check your shit before you walk into that space. And then help around the house. And, don't overstay.
Beautiful. That's so those are probably great reminders.
Full of things. And continue to check in, check up with them. And also, I think that's important too, is not to forget them at 6 months, you know, like, even the first 12 weeks is the most important time. You know, things do go back to normal or normal-ish, or you find your rhythm, but at the same time, be mindful of, that person in 6 months. Because I don't think postpartum is, again, my mentors talk about this. You don't want the first thing to be depression. Like, let's change that word. Behind it. So it is a positive time. It's a celebratory time. Like, it can, it's a steep learning curve for sure. But, and there can be mourning of your old self, but that's not necessarily depression. But if you're a true friend, just keep showing up for them. Even if you have to, like, give yourself a reminder if you really want to show up for that person, just don't leave them at the doorstep. I think that's most important. And the same thing goes in a year from now. And also, you didn't fail if you didn't show up perfectly either. A parent that's 1 year postpartum, still probably, that meal still would be kind of cool, right?
Right, I mean, I don't even have kids. And I'm like, if you want to cook for me, sure. Exactly.
And then another thing I'm still new to what I'm about to say is, like, if you meet those people prenatally, like, thinking about what their postpartum could or would look like, and having more of their input of, like, who do you want around you there in that time, or, like, questions to think about. You know, maybe they're not so cool with their mom, you know, or maybe their dad's triggering, or their sister's blah, or, you know, maybe you have to protect that space from those people, or best friends, or what have you. So, like, or what are the meals you liked? You know, I think often, this changing for me, but I've often come into spaces and not, like, in an emergency, like, they're a month in and they're drowning. A little bit of planning prenatally, even having that doula there that first week, versus it could save them that, for lack of a better word, that downward experience. Like, let's start high. or let's start on a positive versus spiraling into some kind of darkness, and then you need to be built back up from that. So what I'm trying to say is, like, postpartum planning can be really helpful if you meet a client before that, or I think it's important to just talk about that, even, again, with your friends. And it's okay, you can do it. It's still going to be received well, but I think, there's so much emphasis on the birth that sometimes, and that's what was my experience too, like, no one talks about the postpartum prenatally.
It's helpful.
There's ways you could set yourself up for success, positive experience, more gentle, and, you know, you could even ask for that money in a baby shower instead of getting gifts. You know, honestly, like, I think if you have a baby shower, you get so much. I mean, I hate that this is the case, but so much shit you don't need. Babies really need
nothing.
What if you gave, like, just a few postpartum hours to that person, like, that, you know, even if they don't think they need it yet, you know? I mean, honestly, my birth doula, Bobby, got for me, you know, I didn't quite understand what a birth doula was either. You know, you don't have to, obviously you have to invite them into your home, but you don't have to, like, to give a gift like that, I don't know if the person needs to know all the information. Does that make any sense?
Like, yeah.
even if you don't quite understand what a doula is, birth or postpartum, if someone was to gift you that service, take it.
Yeah. I love that. That's a good reminder. I'm curious, in working with postpartum depression, if there's anything that you found to be really helpful, or I liked how you named that earlier, mourning the loss of your old self. Is there anything that you've experienced in acknowledging that mourning or going through that process?
This feels very shallow to name what I'm going to name, but for me, it was a lot about dress and clothing.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. It's New York, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, sure, but I just find it interesting about that whole bounce back theory versus now further postpartum realizing, like, and especially my second child, like, yes, I became that person who likes to wear linen now, and but buying new clothes, not trying to, like. Yeah, in the especially after Theo, for me, I love jeans. That's why I'm going to go back to jeans are my thing, or was my thing. So it was hard for me to give up that identity in theory. So I was like saving those jeans to fit back into them. But like, what does that mean? And the more I embrace, and I've had a few conversations with other people, like, wait, let me make up a new look.
Like, yeah.
I don't have to dress the same or present the same as I did as a maiden. So and I was a little bit conscious of that. Like, I mean, even again, if you want to go back to the pandemic, like getting dressed even now is like, that's something, even though I don't leave the house very often, but mirroring my postpartum experience is like, I have to get dressed every morning. You know, I sort of have to do my hair. It might take till noon. I'm not saying that like I'm dressed and ready to go. But, and my new look for pandemic is I only wear dresses. I didn't know that was
I love it,
but it's like,
so fun.
I'm wondering how it's going to translate on the other side. But so again, like I would embrace try to embrace the change versus to maybe try to look forward or not cling to the past because you've just walked through a major threshold. I don't know if that answers your question per se, but for me, it was a lot about like, body and feeling in my body. Like, again, it's hard for me to admit, but I personally don't like being pregnant. And I do think I have some like body dysmorphia stuff that, I think it's a shame because I fit the category, you know, I can go to most stores and fit in the clothes.
Yeah.
My body type is accepted in yoga pants, but I realize, especially being pregnant and changing, like I don't like that. And then it is a little bit hard for me to view my body. Guess what? I didn't like my body super skinny before I had babies. And I realize now, even being pregnant, not having babies and still being like, again, having a pretty great body, I don't like my body. And it makes me sad. So
but yeah. I'm I mean, I think it's just part of our culture too, is like that there's just a very narrow, limited range of like what is beautiful or what is acceptable or what is like idealized. And so it's hard to, when you're not perfectly in that range or when you don't see yourself as being in that range, it's hard to just have a self-acceptance regardless of what society is expecting or viewing as ideal. So
yeah, I would love to postpartum just like, if you could just like adorn, if however that person wants it to be, adorn them with things that feel nice versus like going back and just sort of be more playful with your postpartum look because and for me, I think clothes realize how I want to present or like it is a part of my artistic display of who I am. It's important to me, but for me, that was like the most part that like I struggled with that change, but it symbolizes that change a lot for me. So yeah, I would look forward, not backwards if you can.
I love that. That's so beautiful. I was just thinking about the idea of like separation versus overlap. Like looking at your website, I love how there's your art and your doula work is represented. And then thinking too of Instagram, where there's these different Instagram profiles, because I guess for myself, selfishly, I'm trying to understand what should I put together? What should I keep separate? And so I'm noticing other people and what they separate and what they put together. So I'm kind of curious, like what your view is on how to contain.
I honestly think it should all be together. I think my separateness on there, I was doing it on my experiment with my art of meditation. So I did wanted to see the work without a kid and food or
right. Yeah,
whatever I like. So that was, I think, just a personal, I just didn't want, for lack of a better word, like my lifestyle involved. I kind of wanted to be anonymous, but I didn't have a mission behind that, because I personally, like, I also happen to have at some point, I was like, let me try to have just my art.
Yeah. So
another one, which I have no real interest in. I probably should delete, but it's sort of like,
I love it though. I mean, I like the different ones, but I was just curious what.
I think those are just experiments, because what's more natural to me is all in one, but I think, and again, I think that was from my Birdsong experience. I think some of those separate ones I had done prior to that, because I struggled with this. Mm. Is also, I've had an art website forever. Mm-hmm. And there was a time I thought I was going to have a doula website. So for a long time, I did not have a website for my doula work, because I didn't know, like, I just couldn't wrap my head. I don't know. I just couldn't wrap my head.
Yeah.
What Birdsong kind of gave me, allowed me, or from their guidance, is like, just be your authentic self. And I was like, you know what? Right. I'm not going to look at everybody else's web, you know, and there are people who mix it up. But at the time, I didn't know very many people. So to me, it has to be blended.
Yeah.
So whatever you
think. I love that.
So, and so I have even tried, like, I think it was hard for me on Instagram, like my main Instagram page, even bring in the doula work. Like, I think I was really silent about it for a really long time. And even like activist work, I sometimes didn't know when to speak up, or political stuff. You know, I still struggle with that, but healthcare, maternal health are two that, you know, are no brainer for me. So finding where, I don't know, your passion or is, and that's where I have to grow my activism. But so I do want, to me, it's important that they're linked, and anything else was just like an experiment and something else, and maybe just a place to hold certain images at the time until I can figure out how to, integrate it a little bit more. But for me, for me, it's one, but there's people who have different ones. But I also am like, I love social media. I love having a website, but like, I also like, I can't do too much. It's my organization method. Like, I don't want to have three emails, you know? Those are my choices, but like, And for me, obviously being an artist, all those things are just one, they're not separate entities for me. And I don't know if people feel differently, but,
I love that. And I can see how it would draw people both to your art and to your doula work and to your books.
It's cross-advertising,
like,
right there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's like, why not just put it all together? So that gives me, I feel like I can just breathe a deeper breath hearing that. I'm just like, yes, just be your authentic self, put it all together. Okay. Thank you for
And you just do it intuitively. I mean, it took me a month. Probably I'm always still changing it a bit, but like, when you it's, I'm sure you've done it before, but like, it sucks making a website. I would love to hire someone else to get one. But like, that it's an amazing process though, of like elimination and feeling, your blocks and then working through them. If you kind of allow yourself to go on that ride, it's a great self-reflection tool or experience.
Yeah. Thank you for that. I'm curious. I also really love, you are into Kundalini. You are like one of the few people that I knew that was like also did Kundalini. I was like, oh my gosh, that's so wonderful. I was curious, any thoughts on yoga or Kundalini or meditation?
I have two problems now with Kundalini. Like, Yogi Bhajan, I guess someone has a memoir about some of his sexual, like his secretary.
Oh.
Which is... I love Kundalini yoga. I love the theory behind it. Like, it's my first yoga ever. I see myself drawn to that practice. And prior last December, I was like, I'm going to take the training. A few things occurred where like it was in one place and another place and the date was moved up. And then, yeah, I actually was just going to like put it on a credit card. That's how like I felt the call to it or to jump into that direction. So I definitely, I see myself going that direction, but right now everything got weird. And then it's like, I'm almost thankful I wasn't in a course right now because we wouldn't be meeting now. I'm sure there's other ways to do that. But I for that one, I had a crazy, for me, this was a spiritual journey. I wanted to do it so badly, but I had a night, and this is how I think I do get my downloads. And this is how I think my spirit speaks to me. I have to be more mindful of like when it happens in my menstrual cycle. But I feel like I struggle with insomnia and like voices in my head or just like a dialogue. Mm-hmm. Especially with this Kundalini yoga, I worked it out this one night. I woke up tired, but I surrendered to the experience.
Yeah.
And to know that it's not bad. It's not like, it's not insomnia, if that makes any sense. It's like I'm acclimated on another plane.
Yes.
And amazing. I literally worked it out that like, I cannot take the training right now. And that was okay. Mm-hmm. I need my children to be like, my youngest will go to pre-K. Like there, I needed some more space. Like right now would have not been the ideal time to do it. And it's kind of telling what has happened where I think that 100% it wouldn't have been the right time, but I had to release it in this, I feel like a journey. I don't know. Like I still want to experiment with this feeling, but I literally worked it out like a long dialogue with me and my spirits about like, why it'd be good to take it now? Why not? Like you have to follow. I mean, it was, you know, 6 hours of like internal conversation, but I woke up being like, you know what? I'm not taking the training right now, and that's okay.
Amazing.
It's going to be able to materialize in a different way. So it's on hold, but it's definitely like a big placeholder because I do want to figure out, or I don't know what it is about Kundalini. I think I am looking for, I don't know if it's a church or a community of that sense. And that's the one that speaks to me the most at this time. So
yeah, I have that too. There's just something about that work that just like leaves me when I leave a class, I just feel alive.
And that's all I'll have to do, right? Honestly, I haven't done it. I was like, I should just take taking classes again. Why do I need to jump to paying $4,000? I mean, I need to be a teacher training. I could just take classes again.
Right.
But I do have to say too, so the prosperity, like one thing I had been practicing a lot, the prosperity.
Oh yes.
Every time, like, and I haven't been doing it in 24 hours. I either get like a gig. I was doing it, I think Lacey Phillips, someone brought it up again. And like her community talks a lot about it as well.
Yeah.
And someone just brought up the prosperity meditation. I was like, okay, that's something I can do. I don't have to go to class. Like try to use your resources outside of spending money on the thing all the time.
Totally.
And that one was like, okay, let me look it up. And some people I liked, some people I didn't, but I found one that, I mean, it's the same meditation, but just like how like the instructor or guru introduced it. I really think it bizarrely, like it could be $100 or like I get a commission. Like it's not, some of them are big, some of them are small. But it's, you know, it's almost like it feels like a magic little bee in the back of my pocket. If I was drawn to like for that right now, and I should be, I guess, but maybe it's time.
I know, me too. It's like, it's funny that like it always seems to like bring something in, but sometimes life just feels too full. And I'm like, I just don't have bandwidth for like another thing to come in.
So, I love Kundalini yoga.
Me too. So fun. As we're starting to wrap up, any thoughts about self-care and visions of the future, what you would like to call in and how can we support you? Sorry, that's a lot of different things.
It's like self-care. I love oils.
So
lavender and patchouli are my jam right now.
Nice.
Rose water spray in the face. I love that brand, Everyday Oil, full body. Like those are my simple go-to as self-care. Just walking around the track when my kids play lately, just in our certain state or our state of unactiveness. So those would be, and I'm really into herbal infusion. So nettles, oat straw,
nice.
Are my two like go to. I just got introduced to linden and, you know, raspberry, like red raspberry leaves, and then clover blossoms.
Yes. So oh, beautiful.
My go to. So I'm kind of, yeah, I've been having nettles for probably over 5 years, but speaking of the future, I see herbalism or, I don't know if I'll be trained, but embracing that in my doula work and also expanding myself in that for myself more. And I also see I do like smells and oils. So I also do see somehow I'd like to incorporate that into my personal life, but also maybe as an offering for my clients a little bit more. Like I did just do with Divine Birth, an herbalism for postpartum.
Oh, wonderful.
In the Black Black Southern tradition. And that was like,
amazing.
Yeah, you could do a lot of history with the Black midwives, but also sort of how herbalism goes through African Black culture, which sometimes we don't hear enough about that.
Yes. Oh, my God. That sounds so good. Can you just recall that out again? What is that called?
So it's Divine Birth Wisdom. I think that's her Instagram handle. Divine is the instructor's name. And she does a wide variety. I think she's a birth doula, a doula. She's a wide variety of things. But I just took herbs in the, maybe I'm having the title wrong, but like herbalism in the Southern Black tradition for postpartum and pregnancy. So it was so insightful. I feel like, I want to bring nettles infusions, or I'm going to make tinctures now for my clients. Just like a lot of tips, and then comfrey for mastitis. Like, yeah, just so many things that I've had experience in clients, but like, oh, wouldn't it be so cool to have
tools to help
more
them.
Tools that are, yeah, they speak to me. Like, I like to me that feels like the ancestors are talking. So like, it's kind of exciting to go on that path. Yeah. I don't know if it's for myself or a small practice or a bigger practice, but that's definitely a personal journey. And I've always liked smells too. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know if smells is herbalism per se, or if they intertwine.
Yeah. It's connected. More. Yeah, for sure.
I do see those two things coming into my personal practice. But I still definitely, I do get massages every 6 weeks. That's a big personal care.
Oh, nice.
I do wish I was more physically, I walk a ton, but like, especially as I go older, I go in and out of yoga, but I'm, again, being kind to myself with timing. And I really hope that with having a younger child in pre-K in the fall, I'm trying to just be kind to myself right now. There'll be more time. Do you know?
Yes.
That's something to, like, I don't know if we're going to culture or postpartum, like it will come, do you know? So I'll figure out how to incorporate that more, like movement and exercise. So that's something, yeah, I can do better in self-care, but smells and infusions and walking are some of my self-care.
Beautiful. Oh, I love that. Thank you for naming that. Oh, and just one last little thing I want to hit on. You had mentioned earlier that you wish there were a couple of things people had told you before you had your birth experience.
Interesting postpartum, like a birth education class with my first child. Yeah, interesting that she told me to ask three questions to like someone who's just had a baby.
Mm-hmm.
So I think even as a doula, just to start writing this list, I think it's different for everybody, but I think that would be a really good start to building up what different people could need. And she asked, find someone who just had a baby in the past 6 months and ask them what they needed. Was it, someone was like food? Someone told me a stool softener, or just even have Advil. I don't really have pain medication in my house. That was helpful for me. That's so asking your two friends, I would ask them, what's something that you wish you had known? And yeah, for me, it was a physical healing. I was a little, and the after birth bleeding were the two things that were like, what the, little bit that I wish someone had, like, yeah, I don't know if someone needs to come talk, like, maybe you need a doula or a nurse to just sort of talk you through. And I'm sure there's a spectrum of that as well.
So many herbs actually too, that can support with that, with 100%, the steam or sitz bath.
A lot of people, I had a small tear, but like you have people who don't, and especially in our culture where it's like, you don't have that 6 weeks appointment, and then, oh, you're okay to have sex. But that's a whole nother, like, topic about when someone's ready to have sex after having a baby. Mm-hmm. Like, there's so many layers to that. Because again, you have to relearn sex, you know, I mean, not technically.
That makes sense.
I think it's a lot for me, like the body and the dress and the body and the shifting, you know. That's something no one brought up about sex or relationships afterwards. They're hard, you know, and even they can be hard at different times. But again, it's that's like radio silence. And I hope that's changing. But yeah, I honestly think let's move postpartum past depression and kind of welcome in the spectrum of a human into, a new parent, a new human. You just walk through a threshold. Let's just like celebrate that and start from there and care for that versus, leaving us to heal on our own. You know, there's so much more talking. So many more mom groups or parent groups. I think it's really silent here, kind of. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've found my community now, or I think that where it's safe to talk about that stuff. But I think for a lot of people, it's not. I mean, I feel lucky I live in New York because, I feel like I do have community or parenthood and a wide variety of that. But I know places don't have that, or you just live, or you have a different social dynamic, you know, or access. Honestly, just educate yourself, really. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, one thing, I'm sure you know this book, but I think the first 40 days.
It's a beautiful book.
I recommend any parent to read. I think it's just like good. Besides the food, but I just think it kind of shows the spectrum of what healing could look like.
Yeah.
Positive of just like sitting still and slowness. And then the first fourth trimester. Hers is more, it's 100% postpartum and her journey through that, but also how it could be different. So I think those are two books that you yourself should just read to just sort of like build up your language of how you can support your friends and your future clients.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that. That's beautiful. I just want to leave space if there's anything else coming through that you want to be sure to name, and then also how to connect with you, support you, and know about your happenings.
For some reason, I'm drawn to Rita Bell Hooks' statement.
I would love that.
Race and identity, but
thank you.
It's from Salvation. Maybe it might take me a second to find, but it just spoke to my like childhood experience and probably the experience I'm still experiencing, but it was really healing for it to be named. Let me just see. The negative aspects of color caste system has been most felt by children. Whether they are dark or fair, Black children have been subjected to a level of shaming that is psychologically traumatic. Children degrade each other on basis of skin color because they learn from adults that it is acceptable. Whether it be the light-skinned child lording over the darker peer or a group of darker-skinned children mocking or ridiculing fair-skinned peer, the intended outcome to make a person ashamed of their physical features is the same. It wounds the child's spirit, no matter their skin color. And yeah, that was really just named an experience I didn't have words for. And it was super healing for me to hear bell hooks so eloquently stated, if that makes any sense.
Yes.
So thank you for listening.
Thank you for sharing that. That's so beautiful. I think, and heartbreaking just to realize that is happening still in this day and age. Like, we just have so much work to do around how we support birthing people, how we deal with race, how we support artists and encourage more creativity and mindfulness in our world. So we have work to do, but I feel a lot of hope and joy that we can move in that direction, and that, this is a pivotal time. We're walking into a new threshold. So thank you so much for sharing all of your wisdom and just incredible beauty and deep insight and vulnerability. So amazing.
Thank you for listening. It feels pretty amazing to be able to be given the platform to speak. I mean, at least my fears or self-doubt felt very comfortable speaking with you. But so thank you.
It's an honor.
Wisdom.
Thank you. And how can we connect with you on your website and Instagram?
Miss Murney on Instagram at kira.joie on that's my art and meditation practice. And I do have a Kira Birnie Instagram handle, Miss Birnie, MissBirney. I feel like that's me, all the other handles. And yeah, there's always my website. And yeah, I think those are the two spots right now.
Beautiful. Yeah. And I'll definitely have links in the show notes for that.
I appreciate it. And I think, yeah, just, yeah, I'm really proud of, if you can find, or I can send you also.
Yes.
The book. So I think, yeah, I'd love to see it. I'm not on the selling angle of it. My part of the project is done, but I'm pretty proud of it. And I hope that it can get like out in the world, further into the world.
Definitely. Let me know if there's a preferred platform you'd like for people to buy from.
Amazon.
Okay, cool.
There is a separate website, but I think at this point, I mean, you could follow Home Sweet Baby on Instagram, and that's
awesome.
Jonna Carter set up that Instagram, and she can always guide you. Like she has some hardcover. There's a hardcover book version, and on Amazon, it's like the self-printing or self-publishing platform.
Oh, cool.
You can sell it. You can buy it anytime, but the hardcover is really special versus the softcover is really special. But
yes, it looks beautiful.
But I think it's a great tool and gift
for yes.
siblings or people who are about to have a home birth. So yeah, I think that's me giving myself a rest.
I love it. Well done. And oh my gosh, just such an absolute treat and delight to connect with you, Kira. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please be sure to connect with Kira Birnie at Miss Birnie, MissBirney, and visit her inspiring website, www.kirajoie.com. That's KIRAJOIE. And thank you for being such a wonderful listener. I appreciate you being here. If you are digging the show, please be sure to share this episode with a friend. And you can leave a review on Apple Podcasts. You just go to Apple Podcasts, look up Time in the Studio, click on the link, and leave a review. It only takes 2 minutes, and it means the world to me. Thank you so much. Let's be friends and connect on Instagram, Facebook, or via my newsletter. Just look for Time in the Studio Podcast. Or www.aidazea.com. That's AIDAZEA.com. I would love to connect with you and let me know what magic you're up to these days. What plants are you chilling with? What are you feeling? What do you want to hear about on the show? Who do you want to hear from? I want to make this show magic for you. So yeah, I'm here for you. Thanks again for being here for me. Enjoy your time. Toodaloo.